Well, this morning we have another good question, a short and to the point sort of question to think about this morning. What does the Bible say about pain? That's a good question. And to be honest with you, as I thought about that question, I thought, boy, this is going to be great. I am going to go through the Bible with a fine-tooth comb and find out what the Bible says about pain and why we have it and what we can do to get rid of it. And it's going to be the greatest sermon of all time. And yet, the more and more I read, I started to realize that I probably couldn't do that. Because the Bible doesn't really explain why we experience pain. It doesn't really tell us how to get rid of it. The Bible just kind of assumes that pain is part of the normal experience of human life, and yet God is with us in the midst of it. I'll tell you what I did to get ready for this morning. I opened up my Bible software. And I did a search on the NIV Bible for the word pain, or pains. The word pain appears 39 times in the NIV. A third of those are related to labor pains. Then I took that word pain and I looked at the Greek word that got translated as pain, and I looked at the Hebrew word that got translated as pain, and then I went through and I read all of those, and I looked for themes that would tie together what it was that all of those references to pain were in the Bible. There were three kind of themes that stood out to me as I read through those various verses. And I'm going to share those three with you here this morning. The three things that I found were this. Pain is a part of life in a fallen world. I should add that. Pain is part of life in a fallen world. God is with us in it. And it won't last forever. Upon my scouring of the Bible, those are the three big things that I saw. Pain is part of living in a fallen world. God is with us in it, and it won't last forever. Let's unpack each of those as we go. So first, pain is part of living in a fallen world. I want to start us off with a little thought exercise here. Okay, think back to Genesis 1 and 2. Adam and Eve are living in the garden. They are enjoying fellowship with God. They are enjoying walking with God in the cool of the night. They are experiencing life the way that God intended it to be. Did they experience pain? Did it hurt when they stubbed their toe? Did it sting when they stepped on a particularly jagged stone? I suspect that they did, because God knew what he was doing when he put our bodies together, and he made us with these built-in pain receptors to recognize when our bodies were in danger, right? When you know that when you touch a hot pan, you got to get your finger off that thing as quick as possible. There is a sense in which, in God's good creation, pain was a good thing, a sort of early warning system. You know, I suspect that Adam and Eve would have experienced pain, but maybe not as a thing that hurt. Maybe as a discomfort that said, look, there's something happening here that you need to do something about. But when Adam and Eve turned their back on God, when they said, God, we know better than you, something about them, something in them changed. And it wasn't just Adam and Eve that changed. All of creation got twisted. Everything that was good got mutated or something. Romans 8:20 puts it like this. In that moment, all of creation was subjected to frustration. All of creation became subject to decay, so that verse 22 of Romans 8 says, all of creation has been groaning since then in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. The implication here is that when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, the good things in creation got twisted. And I think that that's why we experience pain the way that we do today. That good early warning system got twisted into an alarm that just won't stop. Right? The good thing that God created got cranked up to 11 so that we experienced pain well beyond what we need to tell us, look, there's something here that needs to be done. Intense pain and chronic suffering thus became a part of life. And I think that you can see a hint of it in the words that God says to Eve right after the fall. Genesis 3:16, God says to Eve, because of your rebellion, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. In pain, you will give birth to children. See, I think that this is something that suggests the general pattern of pain in the pre-fall, post-fall world. I suspect that Eve would have experienced pain in childbirth, but something like a discomfort that says, oh, baby's coming. But you see here, the pains of childbirth were increased post-fall. I know, then, that many of you know that pain. Incidentally, that verse is why a lot of people resisted epidurals many years ago, 100 years ago, because they thought, no, this is a part of God's punishment. I think epidurals are fine. All the ladies are going, yeah, who are you to talk? Eve wasn't alone in this, though, and not to say that man's experience of pain is anything like childbirth. But at the same time, the very next verse, Genesis 3:17, God says to Adam, cursed is the ground because of you, and now through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. At first, in Eden, fruits and vegetables just grew without any problem. This was the way that God intended life to be. And yet, things got twisted, and now man and woman, for that matter, would have to work hard, suffer aching muscles and painful blisters, trying to eke out a living from the ground. Pain went from being a signal to alert you to danger to an alarm that just won't stop, that goes well beyond its purpose. And that, I think, is why many of us live with aches and chronic pains. You know, studies suggest that half the population deals with chronic pain. Up to 20% find that it interferes with everyday life. And I know that you are in that boat. The Bible tells us it's because we live in this fallen world where things are not the way that God intended them to be. Now, that's not to say that a particular sin is responsible for the pain that you are experiencing. It's simply because we live in this fallen world. More often than not, headaches and back pain and fibromyalgia are just a part of living in a fallen world, a part of the fallout of a world where we have all refused to live life the way that our Creator intended. Pain is simply a part of living in a fallen world. But even so, and this is the second theme that I want to tell you about, God is with us in it. Even in the depths of pain, we are never alone. God is there with us. The God who made us and redeemed us continues to care for us in our experience of pain. And he doesn't do it as one who is unable to identify with the pain, right? He has been there too. God knows what it is like to experience pain. When God came to earth in the person of his son Jesus, he learned what aches and pains are like. He experienced everything from skin, knees, and headaches to the searing pain of being murdered on a cross. God knows what it's like to suffer. And so he can identify with you in your pain. Hebrews 4:15 says this, we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Jesus is like us in every way. He knows what it's like. He can sympathize with us. Therefore, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may find mercy and grace to help us in time of need. In Jesus, God put on human flesh and experienced this pain that is a part of living in a fallen world. He can sympathize with us in our experience of that pain of living with the fallen world because he has been through it. I like how Philip Yancey puts it. Jesus took on the same body that you and I have. His nerve fibers were not bionic. They screamed with pain when they were misused, and above all, Jesus was surely misused. The crucifixion means that we are not abandoned. And then he quotes Dorothy Sayers, who says, "For whatever reason, God chose to make man as he is, limited and suffering and subject to sorrows and death. He had the courage to take his own medicine." He himself has gone through the whole of experience, from trivial irritations of family life and cramping restrictions of hard work and lack of money, to the worst horrors of pain and humiliation, defeat, despair, and death. Jesus may not know exactly what you are going through. You have a unique set of aches and pains. But he knows that experience of suffering, the pain, the frustration, the feeling of, when is this ever going to end? He knows the indignities of suffering, the discouragement of pain, and so he can identify with you as you go through them. And so, according to Hebrews 4, we approach the throne of grace with confidence. We go to him to experience and find grace and help in time of need. That's what Mindy Orr suggests that we should do. Both Hebrews author and Mindy Orr say the same thing. Getting ready for today, I read this particular book, Don't Waste Your Pain by Mindy Orr. She's a woman about my age who has trigeminal neuralgia. Have you ever heard of that? Trigeminal neuralgia is this a condition that leaves her face with tremendous facial pain. They have to drill holes in her skull every so often to remove nerve blood vessels that put pressure on specific nerves in her brain. It sounds terrifying. In this book, Don't Waste Your Pain, she reflects on what it means to follow Jesus in the midst of chronic pain. And she writes, "When I am in the pit of frustration, I cry out to God for strength. I know he has endured pain, and I know he can relate to me in my suffering. That is where true peace comes in. God is with us in the pain." So pain is part of life in a fallen world. God is with us in the pain. Those are the first two points. The third is this: it's not going to last forever. You know, it may not seem like it in the midst of a particular acute bout of suffering, but one day that pain will be gone. Just listen to John's vision of the future in Revelation 21. John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first half earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his God, and he himself will be with them and be their God.'" And listen to what he's going to do. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more crying or pain, no more mourning, for the old order of things has passed away. A day is coming when your muscles will no longer ache, when your shoulders will no longer droop. The frustrations and limitations of these earthly bodies will be gone, and we will live in the presence of God forever." You know, Jesus suffered on his cross to open the way for all who believe to come to him, so that we can look forward to that day that is coming when there is no more crying and pain, no more mourning or death. Just stop and think about that for a minute. What is your life going to look like when you can just get up and go? that day is coming. Pain will not last forever. So what do you do in the midst of it? Right? What do we do when it hurts so much? In a way, I'm going to lean a bit on Mindy Orr because she seems to have more experience in suffering than I do. And by the way, I got a copy of this for the library, so if you want to read this, you can. Mindy Orr writes, "You may be thinking at this point, I didn't choose this painful condition that I have. I didn't choose cancer or lupus or the death of a child." True, she says, but you are choosing how you react to God and to the world in and through your pain. She continues, "How am I going to handle myself in the midst of this pain? How am I going to use my time for God's glory? How can I use the abilities that God has given me, given the pain that I experience every hour of every day?" She says, "God has a plan in the brokenness. God knows your hearts and your limitations, and he can use your suffering to speak to the hearts of others." And she's right. Remember the first verses of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 4 through 6. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles." Why? So that we can comfort those in trouble with the experience of comfort that we ourselves receive from God. You know, I cannot presume to know what it is that you are going through, but I do know this. You are not alone in it. God is with you in it, and he is comforting and strengthening you so that you are able to use your experience, your unique experience of that pain and his grace, to be a comfort to other people. You know, I actually found a newspaper article online from when this book was published. The headline was, "Local Woman Thankful for Her Pain." I think I would have given it a different headline. But in it, Mindy Orr since has had all sorts of doctors put her in touch with people going through the same thing, some of whom are suicidal, and actually another doctor who was experiencing this trigeminal neuralgia for herself. And Mindy had this conversation with her. She says it was a blessing to reach out to her and offer her comfort. She found hope in someone who could identify with that pain. "That's why I'm thankful for my pain." God comforts us so that we can comfort others. And a little later in 2 Corinthians, God comforts us so we can comfort others. That's 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory that outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but for what is unseen is eternal." You know, Paul pulls back the curtain on our suffering and shows things for what they really are. Outwardly, we are wasting away. Every day, we can do less and less. And yet, every day, God is renewing us from within, giving us the strength that we need to persevere in his name. And while a particularly acute bout of pain may cause us to think, "When will this ever be over?" Paul says, no, that's actually momentary light affliction compared to the eternal weight of glory that we are going to feel. Think about that. As great as your pain is now, the glory that you will experience in the presence of God is even greater. If you experience 10 out of 10 pain now, you're going to experience 20 out of 20 glory later on. So don't lose heart. Don't give up. Fix your eyes on what is unseen. This momentary light affliction is preparing for you an eternal weight of glory. I'm going to end by giving Mindy Orr the last word. At the end of this book, she writes, each time someone asks how I'm doing, I have two options, the truth or a lie. I used to say, I'm doing well, thank you. I didn't want the conversation to be sour because of how I was doing. I hid it for so long. I finally realized, she says, I needed to be truthful. This was a way that I could let others know how God was working on me. Not necessarily my physical being, but my heart. My answer changed to, I am in pain, but God is sustaining me. This answer not only told the truth, but it also gave credit where credit was due. God was and is sustaining me. We live in a fallen world, and so pain is a part of life. Even so, God is with us in it. He knows the experience of aches and pains and sores. The cross shows us that we are never alone in our suffering. And while our pain may appear to last forever, it really won't. The day is coming when that pain will be no more, and these momentary light afflictions will give way to the eternal weight of glory. So look for ways to partner with God in your pain, because he has been and is sustaining you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. It is honest, raw, even, when it talks about pain. There is no part of the Bible that suggests that pain is not painful. It truly is. And Lord, our human parts don't like to suffer. We wrestle sometimes to know, God, why you don't just snap your fingers and make the pain go away. But Lord, we know that you are sovereign and good, and all that you do is good. All that you allow is good. When we experience pain, God, I pray that it would drive us deeper into relationship with you, that we would find comfort and strength knowing that you are indeed comforting us and preparing us to be a comfort and a strength to someone else. And God, let us live for that day when these momentary light afflictions are done and we live in not a fallen world, but a restored world, the way that you intended it, where suffering and sorrow and pain are no more. Give us your perseverance, Lord. Give us hearts to trust. Give us peace. Give us your presence to carry along day by day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.